let you know that we believe that God has built this church. Lowell and I went to Appleton, Wisconsin this week. We were looking at some pews and be in prayer. I think we might be able to get some pews, and I think that'll help out the seating a lot. You might have a tendency today to slide down forward a little bit. And just to warn you that if you fall asleep, you might find yourself on the floor. So some padded pews might help out there. But as we were there, Lowell asked the youth pastor why they were getting rid of the pews, and he said, because we don't want to look like a church. You know, and I've heard of people thinking with that mentality before, but I never heard anybody come out and say it. I want you to know that we're glad that we're a church. Amen. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. And we worship Him and we give Him thanks. It's going to take some while for me to get used to because you've moved on me. You know, I was used to where everybody sat at the other church, and if I needed some support or something, I knew where to look. Find a smiling face or something. So everybody's going to have to smile. Make me feel comfortable, okay? Malachi chapter 3. There. Okay. Last half of verse 10. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Behind heaven's windows are heaven's treasures. And as I went through the scriptures, I thought that you could classify these treasures into five categories. We have the provision of God, we have the presence of God, we have the providence of God, we have the preview of God, and we have the promotion of God. God wants to open windows in these areas. The provision of God is the provision that you need to rise to every challenge in your life. God wants you to rise to every challenge, and He has provision to help you succeed, to help you do that, to help you rise and meet all of life's challenges. A father and daughter were at an airport. They were saying their goodbyes. Her departure had been announced. The father said, I love you and I wish you enough. The daughter said, Daddy, our life together has been more than enough. Your love is all that I ever needed. I wish you enough too. They kissed and she left. The father turned to the person who was telling this story and asked, did you ever say goodbye to someone you love, knowing that it would be forever? Yes, I have, I replied. Forgive me for asking, but why is this a forever goodbye? I asked. I am old and she lives too far away. I have challenges ahead. The reality is the next trip back will be for my funeral, he said. When you were saying goodbye, I heard you say, I wish you enough. May I ask what that means? He began to smile. He said, that is a wish that has been handed down from other generations. My parents used to say it to everyone. He paused for a moment and looked up as trying to reply in every detail. He smiled even more as he said, when we said we wish you enough, we wanted the other person's life to be filled with just enough good things to sustain them. Then he turned toward me and spoke as if he was recalling from memory. I wish you enough sun to keep your attitude bright. I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your soul bright. I wish you enough pain so that the smallest joys in life appear big. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. I wish you enough hellos to get you through the final goodbye. He began to sob and walked away. Now, those are great blessings if they would have included God in there. Those things are good, but without God, they're really kind of hollow. And it leaves person with a sad feeling and walking away empty. But the blessing of God and the presence of the Lord is our greatest asset. God's provision for you is that He wants you to be able to meet all of life's challenges. He wants to bless you with regard to what you need to meet those challenges. And God provides so that you will be able to do His will. Today we're talking about provision. We're talking about blessing, but not blessing just for the sake of blessing. We're talking about blessing and provision with purpose. People who are not Christians can have great prosperity, but it comes with sorrow. The Bible tells us that the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 17, God warned Israel about forgetting where their provision had come from, that they might get to the point where they are tempted to say that their hand and their power got them their wealth. And so I want you to know that there needs to be a humility and a recognition that God is at work in your life. God is at work in this church. God is our source. God is the one who has provided, and with that provision comes great responsibility. We have the responsibility to be good stewards. We have the responsibility to use His blessings to accomplish His purposes. And so before we even begin in the message this morning, I would like you to bow your hearts, bow your heads in prayer. And I would like to just read a prayer this morning. And when I'm finished with this prayer, if you agree with it, that you would say to God, Amen. All right, here we go. Lord, I believe You have promised to open the floodgates to heaven's treasures in my life. And by faith, I throw open the windows of heaven over my life. Pour out the unhindered, unlimited treasures that have been kept in store. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. God wants to provide for you. Understand, however, that with that provision comes another level of responsibility and stewardship. Every gifting has another level of stewardship. Every level of miracles has another level of grace that comes with it. If you know how to handle the blessings of the Lord, He will continue to bring those things into your life so that they can flow from you to others. But if you don't know how to handle God's blessings, if you mishandle them, then we stop the flow and we miss the purpose God has for us. God has provided for Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, it says, And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, or it shall be provided. The word Jehovah means, I will be all that is necessary as the need arises in your life. And Jireh says, I will see ahead of time and provide what is needed. So God says to you, I will be all that is necessary to meet the needs as they arise in your life. God provided for Isaac in a time of great famine. He provided when nobody else could. There was no natural way that Isaac could provide for himself, and so God provided for him. God provided for Joseph in a very unique way. Everybody would like to be Joseph, and that everybody would like to be in charge of all of Egypt's storehouses. But not all of us would like to go through the process that it took Joseph to get to that place where he could be trusted by God. Joseph had to come to a place of brokenness. He had to come to a place in his life where he would gain the trust of God. He had to show that he was trustworthy. And so God would put him into these different places. And you know, if I was Joseph, I would have had the very strong temptation to just give up and say, you know, what's the use? I try to do right, and everything I do, every time I do right, it backfires on me. And wrongs just seems to happen to me. And so God puts him into this very tempting situation with Potiphar's wife. And Joseph could have thrown his life away, but he said, I won't do it. I will not cross this moral line. And God looks at Joseph and he says, now there's a man that I can trust. He is trustworthy. And you know, you have to prove yourself trustworthy in solitary before God will ever let you have power in public. Joseph proved himself in the furnaces of affliction before there were the storehouses that he was placed in charge of. And so I ask you today, how are you doing with the trials of life? How are you doing in the fiery furnaces and in the times of affliction that come your way? How are you handling the tests that are in your life? How do you handle the pits and the principles of God's word? You show your light in private, and then you can have authority in public. Before power comes purity. You have to be faithful in small things before God will let you be ruler over many things. And so God provided for Joseph. God provided for Israel. Even in the wilderness, they lacked nothing. They had miracle bread and miracle water, but they came to the place where they had to understand that God was their source. They had to trust God. There was no other recourse. There was no other option. They had to trust God or they would die in the wilderness. There was nothing else they could do. And so they trusted God. But you know, their mouths weren't always right. 13 times, the Bible tells us, they murmured. They complained big time. But they came to realize that God was their source and he provided for them when nobody else could. And when we come to the place where we realize that God is our source, he will provide for us even when nobody else could. God took care of a widow woman through the prophet. She was going to cook her last meal and her son were going to die. But God provided so that the flour never ran out and the cruse of oil never failed. God provided for David during a wilderness experience in his life. God provided for Elijah. God took care of him in a supernatural way. It says in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 6, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Now, wouldn't it be pretty cool to wake up in the morning and have the birds bring your food to you? You don't even have to get out of bed to eat breakfast. Here it comes. God's raven service. Now, you can't do that by yourself. You just can't get on the telephone and call the raven service. But God provided for him. It says, in the morning and the evening, God provided. He had his meals delivered on wings. God provided for him. And God sometimes uses unclean vessels. God sometimes uses the strangest ways to provide for us. He sometimes uses strange things to bring resources or answers to our prayers. How many of you have ever had a raven provide for you? I'm talking about symbolically, of course. So a provision came to you that you were not expecting. A provision came to you that maybe from some source that you thought that would never be a possibility. God would never provide in that way, and that's the very way God supplied for your need. I just want to read some scriptures to you today to prove again that God provides for the believer and to build your faith. Could you say with me, God provides for the believer? God provides for the believer. Now say, God will provide for me. God will provide for me. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Want means to lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Psalm 84 and verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Psalm 65 and verse 11, "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness." God's paths. That's why we need to be in his will. That's why we need to follow the right path. We have to take his path. God's path will drip with fatness, or that means will drop with abundance. God's paths will be filled with abundance. Trials can be a blessing if we take the right path through the trial. Probably the most important thing about trials is to learn which path you are to take. Are you faced with a trial? Do you know what to do in a trial? Do you know what to do automatically? You know what you do automatically? You tend to take the wrong trail. Naturally, we just tend to take the wrong path. We take the natural way. It's the low trail. It's the dump path. It's the garbage path. I have clean garbage so we don't mess up the
your beloved one. Don't try to take him out.
You have a choice when you're going through a trial. The natural way is to take the wrong path, the wrong trial, and go down the garbage trail. And all you do is pick up that garbage. Now, this thing here was a pretty interesting piece of it. We think that if we take the wrong path, you might wind up with something good, but you know what? It's empty. It doesn't satisfy. It begins to smell, stink after a while. Here's something that looks refreshing. We could use something to drink while we're on this path, going through this trial again. It looks promising, but it's empty. There's nothing in here, nothing to quench our thirst, nothing to make us satisfied. It's all just empty garbage. We continue on the path. We're not going to pick up anything that's good. We're just going to continue to pick up garbage. Here's real garbage, cream cheese, nah.
Somebody's got to answer this question for me. Why do, when you make pumpkin bars, you ruin it by putting cream cheese on the top? The greatest food there is, pumpkin, and you put some of the worst stuff possible, cream cheese, on it. I don't understand. There's garbage all over this path. There's the stench of pride. There's the rottenness of self. There's the stench of bitterness, the rottenness of vengeance, the stench of anger. On this path is nothing but self-pity and defeat. But there's another path.
And on this path, God throws out gold. Baker's teeth.
This is my trial. You can have yours later. This is the delight path. It's the joy path. Count it all joy. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." If you take the right path, you know what you find?
And sometimes people do come along, right, and help you see the good of the situation, help you find the gold coins. Well, let me ask you, what would you rather have? Would you rather have garbage? Yeah. Or would you rather have gold?
Amen.
Would you rather have gold? And the Bible says that the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. Because this gold will perish. It won't last forever. But the things that we learn from God and the blessings that we have from God can last not only a lifetime, but can last all eternity long.
So we have the choice which path to take as we go through trials. You can take the path and have garbage, or you can take the right path and find the blessings of God. Psalm 115, verse 14, "The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children." Job chapter 36 and verse 11, "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures." But there is an if in that verse. If they obey and serve him, then God will bring his blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. If you know this verse, go ahead and say it with me. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." It says specifically the soul. There is always the ingredient of integrity and character. Walking in the ways of God and obeying his principles. Those things have to be into place if we expect God to bless us in some physical or material kind of way. So let's open
some windows this morning. We have some time here. Let's open a couple of windows. Let's open the window, first of all, of abundance. Abundance means ample and plentiful. It means to have an overwhelming supply. We're talking about opening heaven's windows. Heaven is everything that God is. Heaven is everything that God has. God wants to open his windows. God wants to pour out these treasures. Why? So that we can live out his purposes. And one of these windows is the window of abundance. In other words, God has more than enough to spare. What is prosperity anyway? I think prosperity is simply having your needs met and having a margin in your life, having enough left over to be able to help others. A margin that you can use as the Holy Spirit directs. Prosperity is not just big numbers. Prosperity is when in your life you have enough resources to take care of yourself and you have some left over to help others. You know, you have emotional margins. Emotions that you have enough left over so that you can give out to others. But there are times when my emotional level, my reservoir runs low. Sometimes there are draining experiences in life. Sometimes the emotional reservoir is low, so low that I don't have any margin left over to meet somebody else's need. You know, if that's the case in your life, that's not a virtue in your soul. Your soul, if it doesn't have enough emotions left over at the end of the day to pick up the phone and call the friend, or to write a letter, or to pray for somebody, or maybe send them a card, we have gotten too low emotionally. You've gotten to the point where God doesn't want you to be. God wants to open the windows of heaven. He wants to pour out in abundance. In this area, even on the emotional level, that you have enough to meet your own needs and enough to meet the needs of others. The Bible says we are to weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. There needs to be margin in our life enough so that we can do that with other brothers and sisters. We need to have margins in our mind so that our mind is not so bogged down that all we can think about is ourselves and our own problems. We have to be able to have room in our minds to think about God or to think about a God thought for somebody else. In your marriage, you have to have the same thing. You have to have margins there. You could go through any area of your life, and there needs to be an abundance. There needs to be a supply that will take care of not only you, but others as well. And prosperity is simply me having enough margins in my life so that it can flow out, and it can bless, and it can minister to other people. Another margin is resources. Wherever your finances are your principles, your priorities, and your values. Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We all have resources, but we all have different priorities attached to those resources. We all have different value systems that we live by. There was a grandmother in Mississippi who was just doing ironing for people. Who could afford to hire her? She took 50% of whatever she made and she put this in a little bag. For 51 years, she did this. When she was in her 70s, she went to a university to meet with the president. He had no idea why she came. She came in his eyes as an unresourceful person. And she brought to that university $51,000 in cash to start an endowment for black students. That endowment eventually climbed to over $1 million. What did she do? She simply created a margin of what she had. She created a value system when she had very little. But she left a legacy because she understood value. She understood priorities. A widow woman from Pennsylvania sat in a Sunday evening missionary service. The missionary, as he spoke, presented great needs. The widow woman said, "Oh God, I wish I had $1 million to take care of this missionary's needs." She had several children. She lived in a little cottage. She didn't even have a telephone. She had no car. She walked everywhere that she went. She was simply a cleaning lady. She cleaned the houses of several rich people in town. She went to some every week. She went to some every other week. But that night at the missionary service, she made God this promise. She said, "God, I will give to this missionary everything you give me above my basic needs." This widow woman longed just for something extra to give to this missionary. On Monday morning, she went to the first house to clean. She stood by the door as the businessman was leaving, and God prompted her to say to him, "Sir, as I clean your house, I will be praying that God will bless your business." The man just kind of grinned and walked away, but he didn't forget what she said. God gave this businessman unusual business that day. He thought of that widow woman and wondered if this was reality or if this was just some kind of coincidence. After he stopped by the house of the widow woman and asked her, "Did you really pray for me today?" She said, "Yes. Has my God answered my prayer?" Then he pulled out a large amount of money and said, "I've had such a great day that I wanted to share it with you by giving you this money." She looked at the money and she said, "Thank you, God, this is for the missionary." The next day she goes to another home to clean. She does the same thing. Same thing happens. God blesses the man. The next week she cleaned house. It happened again. And God kept reminding these guys that every time, every day she was cleaning their house, they had great success in their business that day. So the first guy says to her after a while, "Why don't you come to work for me every day?" She said, "I can't do that because I have other people that I work for. And on Monday, I'm here working for you. And on Tuesday, I'm here working for somebody else." And he says, "Why don't you work for me all the time? You're such a good employee to have around." In fact, he started making appointments with the largest companies on the days he knew she would be cleaning his house. All of the employees started raising her pay. They wanted to keep her happy. She started receiving checks in the mail. The conscience of these businessmen started bothering them. They're getting rich off her, and she has nothing. One of the men said to her, here is $80, and told her to go buy a new coat. She had a coat, and so she took the $80 and sent it to the missionary. She said, "God, this is not a basic need. I already have a coat." When the man saw that she didn't buy a coat, he thought she must have greater needs and that she must be starving. So he went to the grocery store and he made a deposit and told the grocery store to take the widow woman's grocery bill out of that money. Her grocery money is now going to the missionary. She's able to pick out better food and eat better, and God is taking care of her. Then at the end of the month, she went to the landlord to pay her rent, and he told her that somebody had already paid the rent for the entire year. She stands there with the rent money. She went to pay her utilities. All of her utilities had been paid for. See, all of the businessmen thought that they were the only one that was taking care of her. I want you to know that God can take the gold of the world and put it in our hands any day of the week if we will use it to get his work done. If he can trust us with it. This widow woman kept herself dependent upon God. She kept forsaking all. She kept trusting God. Then a furniture truck came and took out all of her old furniture and put in brand new stuff. All of her employees were looking for ways to spend money on her, because they realized that giving money to her didn't do anything. The missionary comes home on furlough, and he wonders who the wealthy family was that was sending him checks every month. The pastor said, "We don't have any rich people like that in our church. Somebody's been sending you checks. You sure they're from our church?" "Yes," they said, "they attend your church." The pastor asked for the name on the check, and the missionary told him this widow woman's name. The pastor said, "No way. She is a widow woman." Can you imagine the scene as the pastor takes the missionary to her house and knocks on her door?
The pastor introduces her. He asks her if she has sent money. She says, "Oh, thank God. God has given me money." The pastor asked the missionary how much she sent. He said, "This year she has sent us over $6,000. But by now the widow woman was supporting other ministries, other missionaries. Missionaries keep coming. 8 missionaries show up over the next couple of years, and the pastor asked each one what they were receiving. The best he could find out that was that she was giving between $20,000 and $25,000 a year to missions. She had been giving over 500% of her salary. The use of your money represents your principles, your priorities, and your values. God wants to supply. He wants to open up your life so that you have an ample supply, and he wants to open up margins in your life so that you have the freedom and the resources to give to others. Let me share with you some abundant scriptures. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." It's interesting how the Bible makes this very personal. It says, then thou. God's word is a personal word to our lives. Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Psalm 67, verses 6 and 7, "Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Even our own God shall bless us," it says, and then it says it again, "God shall bless us." Psalm 112, verse 3, "Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever." Whose house? The righteous man's house. A man who has righteous values will flourish, and he'll be rich in friends and family, and life will just be so full. Psalm 10, verse 4, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." So you have to create enough margin. Through diligence, through diligent work. Psalm 36 and verse 8, "Then shall they be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." Do you understand the abundance of windows? Do you understand what I'm talking about today when I'm talking about margins? Do you understand? God wants you to have margins. How many of you think you can create some more margins in your life? How many would be open to have God creating some margins in your life? Ask the Lord to help you. Really, this is not rocket science. It is simply saying, "God, I want to be used by you. You can trust me. Would you please give me some margins in my life so that I can reach out and I can touch and I can help other people?" I don't believe that this verse is just for a few people. I believe that it's for Christians who want to be used by God. Then there's the window of supernatural provision. When you come to the end of yourself as far as what you can provide for, and you enter into a supernatural realm. It's a realm you can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't touch it, but you know it's there. Supernatural provision like water out of the rock and manna from heaven. Something that you could not do by yourself. I hope you all experience it sometime during your lifetime. When God just steps in supernaturally and puts all the pieces together. Windows of supernatural provision include miracles, divine intervention, when you can't intervene for yourself. This just causes people to step back and say, "Wow, isn't God amazing?" Have you ever heard the saying lately, "That's a God thing"? That's a God thing. You know, that's what we need in our life. When God doing things for us, people just stand back and say, "That's a God thing. There is no other way to explain it, but that is God." People ask, "How did you get that job?" "God intervened for me." "How did you get that wife? She's such a babe." "I know, God must have blinded her or something."
How did you get that husband? God sure blessed. Yeah, he makes breakfast in bed for me every day, brings me a home, a gift every night, takes care of my needs, gives me back rubs, tickles my feet. How many of you ladies think you unmarried ladies are open to a husband like that? See, little things in life excite me. I don't know about you, but it's the small things, the things that I'm not expecting that really excite me. Just a freebie. Could you handle some freebies? We're out to eat one day. This is when we lived still in South Dakota, and we had gone up shopping to Bismarck, North Dakota. We didn't know anybody there. We're eating our meal, and I don't know what kind of restaurant. It was one of those family restaurants. Afterwards, I went up to pay, and they told me at the checkout that our meal had been paid for. Somebody in the restaurant paid for our meal. I didn't know anybody there. That was a freebie. God did that. And at times like that, you just say, thank you, Lord. There's a couple times since we've been here that I went to the mailbox, and I brought home the mail, and Debbie and I would look at it, and here's an envelope. We didn't recognize the handwriting on it, who it was from or anything like that. There's no return address. There's just a stamp that's marked St. Paul. Could have came from anybody. We opened up the card, and in there it said, thought you might like to receive something in the mail today other than bills. And there were a couple $100 bills. Just freebies. God just opening the windows of heaven and blessing. Move your heart to move in the spiritual realm. There's the window of opportunity. The window of opportunity that I'm talking about is one side of the window. It's the side that you need to become involved in giving. When you give of your life, your time, your resources, opportunities open up. With every level of window of opportunity, there's a level of grace that goes with it. The season it's open. Let me speak to your heart this morning. We are in a new building. God is opening up a window here for us. I want you to realize that's what this is. This is a window of opportunity. God has opened this window. God is blessing. But now it's our turn. God's grace is given to this church for this time in our lives so that we can give of our time, so that we can give of our resources, so that we can give of our ministries for this season. We have an abundance of things to be involved with here. God's window of responsibility is so that we can provide for others through the window that He has blessed us with. If you would just step under that window today, then God opens up a window of provision and grace in life for you to do things. As you step through the window, and as you begin to do things for God, things begin to happen. And God begins to bless you, and God begins to prosper you. Let me say this. There is something special about a church that builds a house that will last longer than them. Do you realize that's what you've done? We have built a church here. We have built a building that is going to outlive us. It is going to last all of us. It's the noble person who plants a seed to grow a tree to provide shade for someone they will never meet or know. A noble seed is planted for the future. A noble soul plants seeds for the future. If this house, if this church is worth building, and it is worth your time and your involvement. The windows of heaven are open over us. Will you step under the window? Will you have God's margins come into your life so that you have the ability and the resources to reach out to others? David rejoiced in the building of the house of God. He gave of his house to the house of God. I'm closing with a couple of scriptures here. Would you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29? 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3. I'd love to read the whole chapter, but I won't this morning. If you want to take that home and do that, you'd be blessed by it. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. David gave of his house to the house of God. And then look at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. You know, my heart is full today. I don't think it could get any fuller. But my heart is rejoicing because you have given of your house to the house of the Lord. And you have given willingly. And I know that God will bless you for that. I know that God will literally open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings. There's going to be blessing into your life because you have given to Him out of your abundance. Sometimes you've given out of your lack. And this is a result, and this is a cause for us to have great rejoicing in what the Lord has done. But here's the reason why the windows are open to give. Here's why our windows are open. Look at verse 16. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. You see, God has allowed you to give back to this church because what you have been given was given to you by God in the first place. All that we have comes from the Lord's hand. Every blessing that we have has been given to us by God. It's come from His hand. And so you know what we need to do? We just need to open up our hands and we need to give it back to Him. And give it as the Lord Christ. God has given you margin to your life so that you can use that to give back to Him. To open up your hand and bless Him and bless us. Because God has blessed you. We have no reason to hold on to it for ourselves. You can't say like the Israelites did. My hand, my power have got me to this place. Now we can only say that everything we have received from the Lord. Why do I give? I give because my affections are on His house. I'm not ashamed to tell you today that I love the house of God. I love the church. I love what the church does for people. I give to His house because He has given to my house. He has blessed my house, and I want to bless His house in return. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? We've talked about opening three windows this morning. The window of abundance, which means that you have an overwhelming supply. You have margin in your life to give to others. We've talked today about the window of the miraculous. God wants to do things in your life just to bless you so that people will notice that and say, that's a God thing. I hope people see this church and they say, that's a God thing. That little congregation could not have done that. It's a God thing. Individually in your life, to have people look at you and say, that's just God. That person does not deserve that. That's God. And we're talking about the window of opportunity. That is, God has given you margin so that you can give it to others. It's your involvement. It's standing under the window of heaven, receiving blessings so that you can bless others. Those are the three windows we talked about today. And if you would like to throw open one or all three of those windows today, would you just tell God, God, by faith now, I'm throwing open the window of abundance. I'm throwing open the window of the miraculous, the supernatural, and I'm throwing open the window of opportunity. I'm going to take advantage of the opportunities that you have given me. If you are opening one or more of those windows today, could the Lord see your hand? Just up and then down. Amen. Amen. Lord, we are so grateful for your treasures. We are so grateful for the provision that you have given us. Lord, we would not have anything if it were not for you. Thank you, Lord, for opening heaven's treasures to us. But Lord, we realize today that we have to be trusted with them. Help us, Lord, to prove ourselves trustworthy. And help us, Lord, not to hold too tight a grip on anything, any blessing or treasure that you have given us. Lord, that we might be able to open our hand and give back to you. Give back to your house. Give back to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name.